Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wednesday broadcast of Dana and Parks. A story here from Channel 9, the Crown Center Ice Terrace in Kansas City has been nominated for USA Today's 2024 Reader's Choice Awards as one of the best ice skating rinks in the country.
Wow.
It is one of 20 rinks across the country competing for the honor. Voting is open, by the way.
It's pretty slick.
And you can...
Okay.
Wow.
Out. Now. You can cast your votes online once per day through December 9th.
Update to a story that we first warned you about last week. A Minnesota man says his car was stolen after thieves intercepted his key fob signal from inside his apartment. Oh, listen. Wait until you... Part of this made me laugh, but I know it's not funny.
The bunny ears are back at it again.
Yep. A Minneapolis man believes thieves, quote, borrowed his car from his apartment garage, even though he had the key, pointing to a trend of keyless vehicle thefts. He says, I've heard of the Hyundais, the Kia, that sort of thing happening. That's a known issue, something I never expected. And he left his Volkswagen Taos inside his apartment garage Saturday night before going out to dinner. The following morning, he noticed his garage door opener was missing.
All right, I'm going to start closing my garage now.
My seatbelt was buckled, even though there was no one in it on the driver's side. I saw that my middle console had been rifled through. He has an app for his Volkswagen, which showed his car had been driven 63 miles between 5 p.m. and 2 a.m. At 2:21 a.m., the thieves returned his car.
Well, that was nice.
Kind of like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Kind of.
Do a lot of crime in 63 miles in 7 hours.
But they didn't put it in reverse to take off the miles from the odometer, because you can do that.
Fact. Andy turned to social media for answers, and people started flooding in saying it's happened to me or I've heard of it happening. What they think is happening is that thieves somehow capture the radio signal, the very faint radio signal given off from your fob, using a device that grabs the signal, which then can be stored and reused. Here's what you have to do. Either store your key fob away from glass doors and windows. I would even say away from your front door. And or use a radio frequency blocking box or pouch.
Yes.
I'm not doing that.
Go buy the old-fashioned box of Altoids, you know, with the flip top on it.
Yep.
Put your key in that. It will block the signal.
Really? A box of Altoids?
How do you know that?
It's like a Faraday cage.
Yeah.
Huh.
If you don't believe me,
I absolutely believe you.
Your car will not start. If you get in your car tomorrow, Scott, with your key, first of all, you won't get into your car because it won't unlock. In a Altoids box, it will block.
Minneapolis police, by the way, have told him, we don't even know that we're going to investigate because of manpower. Like, basically, the police have said, we have so many other things going on, including stolen cars that aren't returned. I don't even know that we're going to put anyone. No one is on this case.
I mean, 63 miles, that's a good amount of gas. Did they gas it back up?
Seven hours?
No, I doubt they gassed it back up, Sam. You know they took it out and went criming.
Oh, they definitely went criming.
Why return the car?
So you don't get charged with that. At least
that's
now.
No.
It is still auto theft.
Maybe they just had some errands to run.
It was a Class D auto borrowing. Why return the car?
Well, they're not going to get charged with that now.
And it's a vehicle that can be tracked. And so if they were to keep the vehicle, they would lead police to their home or wherever.
Give away
they
their
park
hideout,
it.
Their little crime and hideout.
Uh-huh.
Well, you remember that story here in Kansas City?
I do.
I think
what they're thinking is the odds if we return it are very low. Police are going to come looking for us. And they're right. Police are like, get in line. We've got 7,000 stolen cars a year that are never returned. Yours at least came back.
You can also wrap your keys in tinfoil. I was going to suggest that one, but I...
What about your hat, Sam? Do you wrap your hat in tinfoil?
I was going to risk that joke when I brought that point up.
Do you have any tinfoil under your hat?
Do you have any tinfoil to spare?
I do not have any tinfoil with me currently. No, I left all my hats at home. Jerks.
How many people just throw their key fob right there in the front entryway? And so if your front entryway has glass next to it, if your front door has that big glass picture window and you put your keys right there or hang them right there.
Who walks through their front door?
Well, that was hoity-toity of you to say.
Wow.
I have a garage.
A lot of people.
Lot of people walk through the front door, Scott.
Really? Uh-huh.
If there is direct access, and I mean open space between your fob and the window, the signal booster can pick it up, send that signal to your vehicle. They're gone.
I put my key on the kitchen counter right next to the coffee pot. There is no glass anywhere near it.
You should be pretty safe because your car is in the garage, even though the garage door is... Well, no, if the door is open,
no,
they would
I just,
be able
no, no,
to
no,
boost
no.
it.
Did you not hear me?
I did hear you.
I said I'm going to start closing my garage door. The three of you yahoos have convinced me to live in fear.
Good. Then my job is done here.
Yeah.
So,
I'll bring
like
you my
Sam
identikit
said,
tomorrow.
Like Sam said, you can use an Altoid box or you can use like a coffee can.
How about a lanyard that I can wear everywhere I go, even sleep in with my name and address?
Sleep with your fob on a lanyard around your neck. Also very effective.
Your name and address is already in your robe, right? In your pajamas.
It should be.
Written on the label.
Please call Margaret Parks if found.
You know, you guys think I'm kidding about the blue... Navy blue Stafford robe.
No, I don't.
I
actually
will send
think
you
you're
both.
No, I do not need a photo.
No, we believe
I've
you.
I've got that.
Oh, we've gotten the
image
photo.
Seared in my mind's
I
eye.
I wear shorts and a t-shirt underneath it, but I do walk around my home in the morning in the navy blue Stafford robe bought in 1994 from JCPenney's in Lawrence, and I will send every one of you a picture of it tomorrow. You're
Is
welcome.
It lined in foil.
My phone will probably, block that as spam. Inappropriate images.
Jacob, what's up, man?
What's up, Scott? Well, don't get too carried away hiding your keys because it really ain't going to do you much good. Because if a thief wants your car, and if he's a good one, he'll get it. Actually, it's funny you guys were talking about this. I was watching a documentary a couple weeks ago where they actually followed around a very well-known car thief who does it for a living, and he actually met with a car dealer to actually show him how all this works to kind of protect their stuff. And they've got basically diagnostic computers they carry around with them, as well as a bag full of key fobs. And they can pretty much walk up to a dealer, pick out the car they want, be in it, and gone in a matter of minutes.
You would think, though, Jacob, if the technology exists to so easily steal a car, the technology would also exist to block the technology to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're a dealer.
You'd think it would, and I'm sure it does. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, like I said, they're using dealer-grade diagnostic computers and technology to access these cars.
All right. Jacob, thank you for the call, man. Do appreciate it.
These cars are basically computers.
Yes.
Now, you know.
It's so, actually the biggest computer you own.
Yeah.
Have you not heard us talking about this, Dan, where your car, theoretically, even knows when you have lost or gained weight and can store and can
shame you
and can sell that data?
That's not theoretical. That is factual.
Think about it, Scott.
How can it sell the data? I own the car.
It knows the pounds per square inch that you are seated in your car. And you've plugged in where you live, so it knows that. You've plugged in where you go to the grocery store, where you have stopped off after work. It stores all of that. And you're crazy if you don't think those automakers aren't selling that data.
The seats have weight sensors. That's how they know to set off the seatbelt
alarm.
But I own the car. How can they sell the information stored in
your data is
car?
Being bought and sold all the time.
You own your phone.
That's true, but I don't own my Facebook page.
It's because, Scott, people don't think of cars as computers. We think of them as the car that takes me from point A and point B, and it does do that, but it is also one of the largest data mining centers in our lives that most people don't think about.
So I found something out about my new used car that I got a couple of weeks ago. I've, in the 3-4 weeks I've had it, lost track of how many times I've had to stop at a stoplight. But today, I was driving through a school zone, and there was a traffic light in the school zone, and it turned yellow-red. My car started beeping at me as soon as the light turned yellow.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I don't read the owner's manual. I think it was because I was in a school zone.
Well, and it was beeping at you because it saw the yellow and that you were not braking at the moment.
Well, not yet. It was a ways in front.
The newer vehicles, I got the pleasure of driving a 2024 truck when I went to Nashville. I drove it all the way there and all the way back. It was super cool. And the seat vibrates when somebody gets too close to your rear bumper. It warns you that you're about to be rear-ended because what I need to be doing is clenching.
Is clenching
when
and
I get
bracing
hit
for
behind.
Impact. You can go into settings and change that to either a tone and a vibrate or neither.
Oh, and you're getting a massage.
I don't like the vibrate.
Crazy.
I know. Okay.
And
so
Nashville
it vibrates.
Highways, yeah.
It vibrates your rear end when you're about to be rear-ended?
That
yes.
That is correct. It also vibrates your rear end when you're not braking quickly.
Yeah,
enough.
I turned that off. It drove me crazy.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Man, I can still remember when this song came out.
She said, don't give me no lines and give your hands to yourself. That's a great song.
Story here from the Kansas City Star. A Kearney, Missouri family has identified the two teenagers who were killed in a multi-car wreck on Sunday when an Iowa police chase crossed into Missouri and sadly turned fatal. Lucy Yeats and Cole Cunningham, both 18, died in the crash. The Yeats family said in a statement on Tuesday. Aubrey Yeats, Lucy's twin sister, survived and is currently being treated for multiple traumatic injuries at a hospital in Nebraska.
My God.
The fatal crash took place around 7:20 in the morning on Sunday on I-29 in Atchison County, Missouri, near the Iowa border. The driver of the car being pursued by Iowa State troopers, and it was the crash.
The wrong way.
A 29-year-old from Bellevue, Nebraska, also died in the crash. His 1-year-old son, who was in the car, thank God, survived. Sheriff's deputies from Fremont County, Iowa, as well as Iowa State Patrol troopers, pursued the Bellevue man on I-29 after he allegedly kidnapped the 1-year-old along with the child's mother in Nebraska. The man dropped the woman off at a hospital in Hamburg, Iowa, before fleeing local law enforcement. Throughout the pursuit, the Nebraska man was driving south in the northbound lanes of I-29.
It's 7 in the morning on Sunday.
These three teenagers from Kearney were headed up to Iowa for a Billie Eilish concert on Sunday night. Obviously, they never made it. Some law enforcement were still pursuing as he headed south in the northbound lanes of I-29. They were hit head-on. Good God. The family is not happy. They say it was senseless.
Here's
of course.
What I want to know. It says sheriff's deputies, plural, as well as Iowa State Patrol troopers, pursued the Bellevue man on I-29. Throughout that pursuit, the Nebraska man was driving south in the northbound lanes with some law enforcement officers, plural, following suit as the chase crossed into Missouri. In what world does a law enforcement department of any kind have a chase policy that would allow the officers to drive at highway speeds the wrong way on a highway?
I don't know, Dana. I don't know.
I have been screaming about the hodgepodge patchwork of chase policies that we have in this community. You know, for 70 different cities and towns, there's 70 different policies on this. Even the worst of the worst police departments with respect to their very loose chase policies, and you know the cities I'm talking about, I would find it hard to believe that even the worst agencies here would allow for their officers to drive the wrong way on a highway during a chase. All you are doing at that point is endangering the lives of every other law-abiding citizen on the road, including the lives of the officers.
And there's no indication in this story. Now, granted, he did kidnap his own son, but there's no indication in the story that he meant harm to his son. And he clearly didn't mean harm to his wife or ex-wife or whatever she is. He dropped her off at a hospital.
And Jesus Christ, they found out about what happened, Scott, through the Life 360 app. Let that sink in for a minute. The family of those kids found out what had happened looking on the Life 360 app, because that app will tell you that a car that your loved one is in is driving a certain mile an hour.
And then it's not.
And then it's not.
Now, I agree with you that they shouldn't be chasing that vehicle in the wrong way lanes on a highway. But to play devil's advocate, are they just supposed to allow them to drive the wrong way down the highway?
They're not going to stop it. You are pursuing. Like, that's when you bring stop sticks in. You bring the helicopters in, Sam. I will say this.
Get the grappler out.
For the crime of kidnapping, custodial or otherwise, my guess is that is one of the mitigating factors that would allow some of the departments who are chase happy to chase. Kidnapping is going to be on a very short list of under this circumstance, we will chase.
And I can already hear people screaming at their radios, you know, you guys are being soft on crime. What are they supposed to do?
This is a pro-law enforcement stance with respect to the department's policies. All you're going to do is get the officers killed.
Or worse yet, or I shouldn't say that, two innocent teenagers who are going to Iowa for a Billie Eilish concert. Your pursuit of somebody going the wrong... Now, if they're going in the direction of traffic, I think you could rewrite this script.
But they believe to be a kidnapping, I think there are a lot of departments who would say we would chase for that crime.
Right, but when you're pursuing somebody who is going the wrong way down a highway, you're encouraging the ne'er-do-well to drive faster, heading into oncoming traffic. By pursuing, you're putting other people at risk.
You're putting everyone around you at risk. Billie Eilish has commented saying, I am sending so much love to the families. This is so heartbreaking.
The theory being, if you weren't chasing, they would eventually would just pull off the highway and...
Or turn the car around and go in the correct direction of traffic. Yes, is what I'm saying. If they didn't think any... But yes, Sam, to your point, pull off the highway. You know, he's headed southbound, right?
Right.
And so one way or the other, he's going to get caught. If he turns around, he probably drives right back into a trap. If he gets off the highway, dear God, and goes across the highway and gets into the southbound lanes, which is the direction he wanted to go anyway.
Right.
He's going to walk into a trap down there, too. Everybody's going to be looking for him.
I mean, he's running no matter what.
Right. But at least... At least we can get him off the road and going in the right direction.
Instead of having two cars now on the road going the wrong direction.
At least two cars. It said some law enforcement.
7:20 in the morning, Scott.
I know. I'm well aware. 913-586-7798. Bob in Kansas City. Bob, hello.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I don't think there's an easy answer to any of this that happened. I'll just ask both of you, since we all have kids, I do as well. If somebody's kidnapped one of your children, would you be okay with them just letting them go?
I didn't want them to let him go, but it makes no sense to chase in the wrong direction of traffic. You're not going to catch him.
So they don't chase him. They let him go. He ends up in Mexico, and you're okay with...
Keep saying you don't chase him. What I'm saying is you don't chase him in the wrong way lanes. You head him off... ahead of the exit that's coming. We've seen these come to an end successfully in other cases.
Yeah, I would remind you, Bob, this is the child's father. This is not some stranger or...
Who's dead.
Yeah, and...
So, I don't mean to interrupt, but you mean to tell me that parents don't hurt their own kids, Smith?
I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is maybe retreat, regroup, and come at it a different way.
Literally, come at it the correct direction, if that makes sense.
It's not going to happen. The guy that's done the chase is not going to just turn around and do. He's going to do everything he can to get away. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but I want him to chase.
But what sense does it make to have two cars at highway speeds going the wrong direction on the highway?
None of it makes any sense, but you just want to let him go. I just don't want him to go free, period.
But neither do we, Bob. But you kept saying earlier, and with respect, I think you were trying to put words into our mouth, you're okay with it. You said something like, you're okay with him getting away. Well, turn it around a little bit. If the police are giving chase, causing this man to presumably go at a higher speed than he otherwise would have in the wrong direction, and kills two teenagers. If those two teenagers were your kids, are you saying you're okay with that as long as we get him off the road?
I mean, no, that's, again, there's no good outcome to what happened here. I'm sorry. But yeah, I would want him to chase no matter what. No.
Even if it meant the loss of your kids' lives?
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
I would not.
I'll tell you who would not. The families that are going to be burying those two young people.
That's exactly
right. The twin who will never be the same, who survived physically or emotionally. You can't head this off at an exit 2 miles down the road.
Shut the highway down
and throw down stop sticks.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
So we looked up the county where at least one of the sheriff's deputies was involved in this wrong way pursuit. The county that the pursuing deputy is from has a population of 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
6,000 people. It is actually the third least populous county in the entire state of Iowa.
If you've traveled north on I-29, it is the county directly east of Nebraska City, Nebraska.
So I'm not saying their department didn't have a chase policy. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. This is going to be an extremely small sheriff's department.
Yes.
Extremely small. Where I think most larger agencies will tell you who've been around the block, literally and figuratively, with understanding the outcomes in these types of decisions. There is no way Kansas City, Missouri, or a Missouri Highway Patrol would authorize a highway chase in the wrong lanes. They, for the officer's safety alone, they wouldn't allow it.
And the guy who was the subject of the chase, he's from Bellevue, Nebraska, which is a suburb of Omaha.
Was.
Well, yeah, it was. Jim in Topeka. Jim, hello.
Yes. Yes, I'm an internet nut that watches these types of chases on the internet to see what's happening. And almost always the police car will get in the wrong lane and get to following the perpetrator. But if the car is over in the right lane, your eye is going to be pulled to those lights to see what's happening. You're not going to be looking ahead at the car coming at you with the lights flashing in your lane, but it's coming at you. It gives you a chance to see something coming at you that you don't recognize camouflaged as being another vehicle. It's something different. So there's only one reason to do that, and that is to give people a chance to see something coming that shouldn't be there. And no, it's not a good excuse, and no, it's not a good reason, but it's the only one I can come up with and the only one that I've seen that works.
Jim, what Sam said during the break, and I like this idea, is you would just radio ahead to the nearest, would it be south or north county, Scott?
It would be south.
He was heading south in a northbound lane. You would radio ahead and shut the highway down.
Yes,
at that spot, you would engage the highway patrol and shut the highway down at the next three exits or two, or wherever you want to make it.
Right. Stop all northbound traffic at mile marker 15 or whatever it is.
But, and I think Jim was making the suggestion that it was dark outside or something like that. At 7:20 in the morning, it was not. Sunrise tomorrow morning is at 7:08. And this was over the weekend, so it would have been even earlier. Jim, thank you for the call. Always great to hear your voice. Dave in Independence. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Hi.
My son-in-law was one of the state troopers in Fremont County involved in that chase. and they were not directly behind the car. They were in the southbound lane trying to get ahead and coordinate with the Missouri Highway Patrol to set up either a roadblock to stop traffic or put up bike strips. That entrance, or the Missouri state line, is only a mile south of Hamburg.
Mm-hmm. It's very close.
And the sheriff's deputies stayed back about a quarter of a mile behind it just simply because they couldn't coordinate fast enough to stop traffic.
How fast was, do you know how fast the bad guy was driving?
He didn't tell me. He said it was a high rate of speed. That's all he said. So,
yeah. How's he doing?
He shook up.
Yeah.
He shook up because he started the chase back north about 20 miles. And they pulled off the pursuit, and the guy got off the interstate at Hamburg. For whatever reason, he dropped his wife off at the hospital, and they lost track of him. And then they were heading southbound just to try and look and see if he had taken any side roads, and noticed him getting on the southbound lane or northbound lane. And so they stayed in the southbound lane trying to race ahead and coordinate with the Missouri State Patrol.
But who was there? Had to have been, according to the story, at least somebody pursuing him in the northbound lane going the wrong direction. The story in the Star seems to indicate that.
I think that's going to be the small sheriff's department's deputy.
It was the sheriff's department, and they stayed back about a quarter of a mile behind the car.
I understand.
Just simply because they didn't want to push him too fast because they couldn't get northbound traffic stopped in time.
Dave, thank you for the call.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Really also, a semi driver, according to the story that I read in the Star, Scott, that was is fine, but was run off the road and could have also been like, it's just statistically, if you look at how this went down at the end with those at least two cars going the wrong way, someone was going to be killed.
Oh, for sure.
Period.
And you can say all day long, why didn't they veer away from each other and avoid each other? When you're both traveling, say they're traveling at 90 miles an hour and they're in the car doing the speed limit at 70, you close distance very quickly.
So quickly.
And you're constantly looking at headlights coming at you because the median is only, 15, 20 feet wide. So when you see those headlights in the distance, you don't think to yourself, oh, those are in the lanes driving head on.
Let's go to Steve in Overland Park. Steve, hello.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
So I want to bring up a couple of points. Scott, you mentioned that at 720, it wasn't dark. We were having to assume that was a sunny day. If it was overcast or any kind of weather at sunrise, it would be pretty dark, I would think.
I don't recall what the weather was like on Sunday.
But even at sunrise, it's not full sun, so I could see that as being a reason. And another thought I'd be is with the highways being as long as they're out there, if you look at the exits in that area, there was mention of shutting down a highway, that next exit where you could shut it down could be 6-7 miles away. And that means you would be saying, we're just going to let this guy run for this distance. It's just really a bad situation all around. There's really not a good solution to stopping somebody when they decide to go barreling the wrong way down a highway.
Steve, thank you for the call, man. Do appreciate it. Let's go to Shane in Olathe. Shane, hi.
Hey, I was telling Sam I need kind of a palate cleanser after hearing the first gentleman say he would sacrifice his own kid.
Yeah. No, you would not.
And as a former officer, we used to say there's two things you don't outrun. You cannot run radio. Now, having said, and the other ones, you can't outrun the air support because they don't follow the streets. You know, they do as a crow flies. Having said that, it makes more sense when the father-in-law called in saying, hey, they were in the proper lane. Because you want to get out ahead of them. But the whole thing of there is a heat of the moment thing, the component that does kick in. And that tells me that the guy, the sheriff's deputy that came from the 6,000 populace, he probably hasn't seen any action in 2 years. And something like this happens and he, you know, and that's no excuse. of course they should have shut it down. They should have called up ahead to the next county, whatever, to shut that the whole highway down, and then just backed off the pursuit and then had the air support. But then again, what we don't know is, was air support even available?
Yeah.
And where would it come? Where
Shane, let me ask you this. Do you have the right as a law enforcement officer to unilaterally make a decision like that? From not in this department, for most departments. Or do you have to call and, like, how does that work? Someone would have to give the green light, no pun intended, for you to go the wrong way and pursue the wrong way.
I don't know of any department that's going to allow you to go the wrong way. Because your first job is to preserve life. Having said that, this is kind of where your frustration is with the gray area of, okay, well, is that child's life in harm? You know, if I saw this guy rob a bank and kill three people, and my reasonable conclusion would be, if he runs into anybody, he's going to start shooting before he starts asking questions.
Yeah.
Then the escalation goes up. But to your point, you know, and look, the previous guy had a valid point. Yes, parents do bad things to their kids, and that is something that's still completely. How do you understand that? But in this case, if he did take the time to drop off the X, we could probably assume, you know, but that's where, you know, assumptions come in, that he's probably not going to harm the child. But, and the whole thing is just a tragedy. But I can tell you right now, even as a former law enforcement officer, I would never sacrifice my kids and say, well, they died for the greater good because we got this guy who may or may not have hurt his child anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, I
am right there with you, Shane.
I can't even go in there. So you guys have a great day.
You do the same. Thanks for your service, Shane. We have an update on the burglaries that occurred at the homes of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Well, Fox 4 is reporting that police may have some suspects in mind when it comes to those burglaries. And then remember, and we'll talk about this when we get back, a third burglary, not related to the Chiefs in any way, to my knowledge, where the same group stole $500,000 worth of jewelry out of that home.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
All right, I think the headline is a little bold for what we're about to tell you. It's a little, it's a little much.
You read the Fox 4 story, and I'll compare it to the New York Post story that I have in front of me.
The headline just says police may have suspects in Mahomes and Kelce burglaries. 1 week after high-end burglaries targeting Kansas City Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, Fox 4 has learned who might be behind them. And then they quote here from a security expert. I'm not saying
is it Mike Barbary?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not a security expert, but this is not someone connected to the investigation in any way. He says, quote, "This is a sophisticated operation." I think we all knew that. "This is not some guy that's going to go down to the local pawn shop. It appears to be a highly intelligent crime ring. It is related," they write, "to the video Fox 4 showed you last week where burglars hit that third high-end home that we've been telling you about and stole more than $500,000 in jewelry. That home was not the Kelce or Mahomes house. That one makes it interesting, and we've said as much. Multiple sources confirm with Fox 4 that police believe the thieves could be members of a South American crime ring."
Now, read that sentence one more time.
"Multiple sources have confirmed that police believe the thieves behind these high-end burglaries are members of a South American crime ring."
Okay, now that sentence carries some weight for me because they're saying sources say police believe. I'm assuming those sources are police sources.
He says it doesn't surprise me at all that this crime spree is going to end up being across the entire country. And you remember this. There was another
Bobby Portis in Milwaukee.
Hockey player that was struck as well.
Translation, they have no idea whatsoever.
Well, now, I'm not willing to say that. The reason that this security expert is brought into the story, and Dana, being the only one on this show who worked in TV, you know this as well as anybody, They need somebody to give them an on-camera quote.
Of course, of course.
Police sources are not going to do that. So here's what I bet happened is Fox 4 has a handful of police sources who are saying, I'll just tell you, we're starting to look at a South American gang.
This isn't a local ding-a-ling. That's right. And he's right. That's going to go down to a pawn shop and sell memorabilia.
You can't get your source to do anything but on background with you. They're not going to go on camera and jeopardize their career. The police chief's not getting involved. The FBI never comments on camera.
No.
And so you have to go get somebody who you can put in your story.
What I've said from the beginning is you look at who was doing work in both of those homes, and then the key is that $500,000 jewelry heist in the third home that's just a private individual that happens to have a crap ton of jewelry in that house.
Right.
What he went one step further, because we've already said that. This is going to be something in some way that there was someone tied to those houses who have either been inside or knew what the contents were and where to find them. He says, and I like this, anybody that's had their homework done recently and then miraculously had it burglarized, you can draw a very interesting conclusion from that. Mm-hmm. Some of the people that were on a job site may know people in these cartels and may be selling that information. Mm-hmm. So read that. It might not necessarily be somebody local that's worked on a crew in all three of those homes, for you name the reason why.
Right.
It might be someone who worked in all of those homes.
Who's selling the info.
Who's selling the information to somebody who is very good at getting in and out.
Now, I think that is a credible theory in all of this.
I do too.
That it's not the person who's doing the work. They're selling it to people who are going to come in and take the stuff.
Because you know how quickly it would take to figure out, now that we've got that third private home,
right,
it's not going to take long to figure out what kind of companies were in all three homes recently.
Hey, if you get a chance, make sure you swing by our website, kmbz.com, and chip in, if you're able, for Coats for Kids 2024. Our goal this year is $60,000. It's ambitious, but it is doable. Just go to kmbz.com, click on the Coats for Kids tab. It'll take you to a safe and secure website, or text KMBZ Coats, one word, to 44321. Thank you to Operation Warm, our partners, and of course, our sponsor, Pinnacle Bank, here in Kansas City.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.